Good afternoon. I don't know what time you're listening to this, but it's afternoon here at ESDAC in Hutchinson, Kansas, here at the Redesign Podcast. I'm with the rock star gurus of redesign here at ESDAC. I've got Ginger Lumen, Tammy Fellers, and Katie Perez together here with Glenn Wiebe. That's me. We're talking about for about 10-15. Sorry, Ginger's already laughing at me.
It's so cute. Well, me, Glenn Wiebe.
Well, everybody knows this is. Anyway, we are going to talk about redesign stuff, and we've got a couple of questions and a couple of prompts, and we've already decided with this group of rock stars, it could go all over the place. They don't know what they're going to talk about. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we have two prompts we're going to start with, and then we're going to see what happens after that. So here's the first prompt. I'm just curious. You guys are out on the road a lot. You're working with schools and districts on redesign a lot. Just give me each. You got like a minute each. Tell me one success story, one thing that in a district somewhere, a school somewhere, there's been a teacher, a principal, community member, a business that's like, they're just rocking it with something really cool. What's your examples? And Katie says she doesn't want to go first. So we're going to go alphabetically. So Ginger, you're first.
Well, you know, I always have something to say, so that's a good choice. One of the things I have seen, actually, it's one thing that I've seen multiple places where somebody says, you mean we get to do what's good for kids? And that kids get to come to the table and we get to do this together. And it's, those are always exciting conversations. And then what happens as a result of those kid conversations is the teachers say, well, we just have to, and these are some really great ideas. And then that just really opens the door to other ideas. It's the first step, I think, to, not only do we have permission, but we have kids asking us, and how do we not do this? I know I might be talking in very generalities here, which probably is exactly what you didn't want. That's what I'm excited about. What I'm seeing is that the conversations and permissions are opening.
So do you have a very specific, I am going to ask for a very specific, do you know of a teacher or a classroom or school that's like, okay, we can do whatever we want now. We have a lot of permission to get away with some stuff. What's one thing that you've seen teachers get away with that's been good for kids?
One thing that they've gotten away with. Okay. So, well, we're still early in the redesign process. Yeah. Yeah. So some of these things aren't as big as what they may eventually turn out to be. There is I'm going to say this with most utmost love, a crazy math teacher in Garden Plain, Kansas. And he is gaining some notoriety because one of the first things he always tells people is, you know, that Ginger, she really pissed me off. And that's the words he says. But then I started to understand that really it's about our kids, and I love him. And he has decided that he is doing geometry with the kids through chess. I have no flipping clue how this works. I just look at him and he shows me and he has it all lined out and it absolutely makes sense. And he says, here's our standards and here's what we're doing and this is why we're doing it. And I just blink and nod and say, go, baby, go. You know, and there are some things that he knows are going that might be hurdles coming up, but he's emboldened because kids said, we need something different and we want something different. And he said, you know what? We can do it. And I'm just can't wait to see him by the end of the year.
Okay. Tammy wants to chime in on the whole geometry chess thing. So you got like 10 seconds to explain this. What the heck?
Oh, wow. I have to explain geometry and chess?
Well, in 10 seconds.
Yeah, you go. Is there a quick explanation of chess
and
geometry?
There is not a quick explanation for chess and geometry. I'm super excited because I know as math teachers, we are super linear and focused and so deep in the content that it's awesome to see how I might do this in a non-traditional way. So am I confident that this math teacher can pull that off? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have no doubt in that. Can I give you a 10-second explanation? I cannot. But I can answer your other question that you asked.
Go ahead. We're out of alphabetical order. Katie was ready to go. You're right there.
Go for it.
Okay. So I was going to be general and I have a specific. I think the thing that is most exciting me is the sparkle in teachers' eyes. I feel like there's been a rejuvenation of oh my word, I get to think outside of the box. As a whole, teachers are rule followers. We right. like to do things right. We like to please. We like to, and under the systems that we've come through, those rules maybe have felt very confining.
Yeah.
And so I think that now that we're setting a new set of rules that, hey, the rules are way bigger than just this finite piece. I feel like there's a sparkle back in some of our teachers' eyes to be able to think outside the box, do some things that they've wanted to do before, but felt like they weren't following the rules when they did that. And then for my specific example of something good happening in redesign, one of the things that I got to hear the story about, haven't got to see in action, but was from a high school that started implementing, like, once a week after lunch, they had kind of a mindfulness practice, whether the students had some choices between yoga, between a quiet room, had some different places they could go where they could just kind of, lack a better word, regulate themselves, but have that peaceful moment before they dove back in. Mm-hmm. And the high school students actually came to administration and said, hey, can we do this more than just once a week? And so for me, that feels like a success or win when a student says, hey, I need a break from technology, from all the inputs that we mm-hmm. get, and says, hey, can we do this more? That shows me that we're moving down the path for really taking in the well-being of students. And so that was, for me, a highlight.
Well, the cool thing for me when I'm hearing these stories is that Ginger talks about teachers seeing that it's now more flexible, and administrators in schools saying this is more, the atmosphere is more flexible. I get to do what is best for kids. But we're also hearing kids now going, wait a second, I have a voice here as well. Mm-hmm. And that they now have permission in this new, bigger rule, flexible thing where kids get to say what's best for them as well. And I think that's kind of cool. That's awesome that they're coming. We need this more than once a week. That's cool.
I think kids have always been telling us. We just haven't been listening.
Yeah, good point. Katie, what do you got?
All right. So I was thinking about how this whole process has really elevated the teacher's level, their voice within it, I guess. And some of the people we don't normally hear from are really finding a way to advocate for what they've believed for a really long time about what's best for their kids. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of two specific teachers in a school. One of them, I think, is in her third year teaching, and I think she's been kind of just not the most confident teacher in the world, but her heart is 100% in the right place. And it's just giving her such a room to advocate for herself, for her professional needs, to be able to do what's right for her kids. So just seeing that confidence building process in her has been huge. The other, though, same school, we were in a redesign meeting the other day, and I asked each teacher to make a commitment from between now and my next visit out in November. What is one thing they're going to commit to doing? And they all made their commitment, but the person sitting directly to my left was a first year teacher. And so she wasn't in this whole process with them last year, and I didn't really expect her to have anything, because she hasn't been part of these conversations so far. And she just very confidently but quietly said, well, I think I'm just going to set aside the reading curriculum because it's not meeting the needs of my kids. And I'm hearing that I have permission to do that. So what I'd like to do instead, and she just laid out a full plan in this room of veteran teachers, her principal, district coach, district curriculum curriculum level person, and went back to her classroom after the meeting. And the coach went in and asked her, you know, what are some of your thoughts here? How can I help support you? And she, again, just laid out the plan that she had. So just that powerful piece for her of being able to see, oh, I really do get to do that, that what I think is right. And I can teach my kids and not teach this box that's sitting on the side. I think about the power that we're giving those teachers. Ooh, I said power that we're giving. Ginger's going to throw some daggers on that one.
They've always had the power. We just
we're allowing it. We're giving a voice to it. I think that's so exciting that we've been lurking around in the shadows of our classrooms for a long time, and I think now we're gonna do what's been inside of us the whole time.
And you know, Katie, I'm going to follow up with something I kind of heard to bring clarity for an administrator's point of view is, it's not that we're now just going to start doing whatever the teacher wants. We're going to start really doing what's in the best interest of students, through that practitioner, professional lens that they have and are in the room and see the needs that are not being met and now have the ability to step outside of that box to meet those needs. So it's not just a willy-nilly free-for-all, hey, let's just do some fun stuff. It's no, we're going to do some work to meet the needs of each individual kid.
Man, sister. While also allowing teachers to be able to teach in a way that maximizes their strengths. So really building some capacity in schools, especially maybe, you know, at the elementary level, we don't always, we're expected to teach everything. And that we don't, we're not always confident in everything. So that's one of the things I'm seeing in this school is they're saying, wow, you know, we really could kind of restructure a little bit to maximize our strengths of each individual teacher to continue to meet those best needs of kids and have no shame or ego in saying, this is my area. This is what I am awesome at. And you're really good at this. What if we joined forces here?
Right. And then we don't have to be cookie cutter the same.
Right.
And when we do, it is to a detriment of our babies. Oftentimes.
And Ginger, you said a key word there. You said our. They are not my babies in my classroom. They are, at the end of the day, our kids. And so if you go back to Katie's analogy, really looking for to meet the needs of all of our kids and as a staff doing that together and not that I have to do it individually as an individual teacher.
I always do say my babies, though. I don't know why I said it right there. Because they're mine. And if they're yours, too, that's good, too. I want everybody to have that. For me, I want us to all feel like it's they're personally mine. I think that's a good thing.
Collective as long as, and personal ownership. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. As long as we're not using it competitively.
Ownership is not the right word. ownership is not the right word. But.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. They are my kids.
Because they're my responsibility.
There are, you know, collective right. group. It's not, yeah. you know, I sometimes see, work in bigger school districts that have more than one elementary. And if we can get away from that us versus them mentality, even at multiple grade levels.
A good lens to look at that through is, I have a young daughter and she is my daughter. And I have complete trust that when I send her to her school, they are loving her in a way that represents what I want for her. So she's mine, but collectively we're all on that team together. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. I think about my students in the same way. Like, this is my homeroom of kids. And I want to be able to trust that everybody I send them to is treating them and teaching them in a way that maximizes their,
absolutely.
But there is still kind of a personal level there of, I need that trust.
And that's what makes the redesign so exciting is because we are looking at each kid. We are now looking at each teacher. We're looking at community members and what they can contribute, and then what we can contribute to our community as well, not just reaching out to our communities saying, what could you do for us? But what can we do back for you with our captive audience of kids who need to learn some stuff, and they can learn by doing it for you and giving back to our communities that way. That's really some exciting things.
Absolutely.
Ladies, thank you very much. I introduced you, but I never really told people what you do. Very quickly, tell us, like, what's your connection to the redesign? What's your specialty? What are you good at, so that they know a little bit more about what's going on?
Oh,
Katie, just tell.
I'm going, like, first, huh?
You work at ESDAC.
I work at ESDAC. I am on the professional learning team, so one of the consultants here at ESDAC. I work a lot with project-based learning, as well as some areas of teacher mentorship and coaching and trauma and poverty work as well, a little bit here and there too. So a lot that has to do with redesign.
A lot of stuff going on. Awesome. Ginger, give us a little quick bio.
I work with project, problem, passion-based learning, maker education, really all about things about learning by doing, not just talking at the kids, but doing with them, as well as gifted high ability kids and technology integration, emerging technology, and just really the opportunity for us to rethink everything that we've done and we know that school is. Let's take the opportunity to rethink, is it worth it? You know, is it what it's about? Is it taking us where we want to go? And if it is, yay. If it's not, then are we going to tweak it? Chuck it. you know, tweak it or check it. And that's a place that I've lived for the past 46 years of my life. And I'm so glad that we can now do this in education and not under the radar, that we can do it for real.
Awesome. Tammy.
I am Tammy Fellers, and I am the professional learning team lead, and my focus area of work is really around leadership. I'm on the Inspired Leadership team, and we work with schools on culture and willingness to change. And by leadership, when I say work with leadership, that means I work with everyone, because everyone's a leader. And I truly believe that in my heart and in my work, that I don't just work with leaders by title, that I work with everyone who leads someone.
These are the three ladies that are part of the ESDAC redesign team working with KSDE. They get together and spend a lot of time out on the road working with schools. But we also work directly with KSDE as the Gemini 2 sort of rollout process happens. So these are people that know what you want to know. So when you have questions about redesign, if you have questions about anything that they talked about, these are the people that you need to get a hold of. And obviously get a hold of them very quickly. Contact@esdac.org, 620-663-9566. That's the marketing part of me going on. But you can also find a lot of resources and a lot of their tools at redesign.esdac.org, which is the website that ESDAC has put together to help support the redesign process. So Ginger, Tammy, Katie, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future, but the rest of you out there, have a great day.
Super fun. Thanks, Glenn.